Yaakov, that night at Har Moriah, he dreams. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about the fact that it was dark, that he was alone, that he dreamed, that he davened Maariv. Today let's talk about Yaakov's response. Most of the Torah describes what people do, their actions. It doesn't really describe their thought process. It's less important. From time to time, it's important. What was Eliezer thinking? Eben Avraham and Chayesara, that's important. What was Esav thinking? That's important. But most of Toldos is what people did to each other, what they said to each other in communication, how they affected one another, their actions. So the story of Yaakov is important, but why is Yaakov's response? He wakes up and he says, Achen yesh Hashem makom hazeh, ein zeh ki im beis Elokim. He wakes up and he realizes that this is a beis Elokim, and he's afraid. Vayira vayomar, manara makom hazeh. So Achen yesh Hashem makom hazeh, he realizes it, vayira vayomar, he's frightened. Why is that important? Ein zeh ki im beis Elokim is the shara shemayim. So before I describe this Vasemes to you, I'll describe two very quick points of this Vasemes, important points. But when you read Vayetze this week, try to read Vayetze in this section parallel to the Akedah. Because this is the time that Yaakov visits Har Moriah. This is the time that he visits Beis Elokim. This is the time that he discovers or generates Yirat Shamayim, similar to Avram's Ata Yedati Ki Yirat Elokim Ata. This is the time that Yaakov encounters Malachim. So just read the two parallels that you should read the beginning of Vayetze with are, number one, the Akedah and the end of Vayera. Number two, Yaakov's departure from Eretz Yisrael and the end of Vayigash. Because now he's leaving north, and in Vayigash, we'll talk about this a little bit later, he leaves to the south when he descends in Mitzrayim. So just be aware that this is a story that has to be read with two parallel stories, with the Akedah and with Yaakov's final departure. That's just in general. We'll touch on it a little bit in today's very brief shiur. So why is he waking up and discovering Achein Yesh Hashem Makom Hazeh V'Enochi Lo Yadati? What's his big discovery? So, according to the Sfas Emes, the stones weren't protective stones. They weren't even bed. Pashup Shad is they weren't there to protect him. Pashup Shad is Beikach Me'Avnei Makom V'Yasim Me'Ashusav. They're a bed. You put a stone under your head for a pillow. You ever lie out in the wild? You want to lie on something. You want to lie on thorns and dirt. You put some stones, some rocks, some straw. And you take a big rock and you put it under your head for a pillow, which is what the Netziv says. So either they were to protect him or they're for a bed and a pillow. But according to the Sfas Emes, Yaakov is, we would call it, traumatized. He's frustrated. He's pained. And he has to leave Eretz Yisrael. And that's the common theme between Vayetze and Vayigash. Because in Vayigash, he's also really troubled by it. He sojourns in Be'er Sheva. Hashem comes to him in a dream, as he does now, and says, Al tira Yaakov, don't worry, I'll descend with you to Mitzrayim. So Yaakov doesn't like leaving Israel. And Yaakov creates this paradigm in history that Jews really don't like leaving Israel. Because Yaakov's in and outs are more reflective of Jewish history than any of the other Avos. Yitzchak never left. Avram pretty much never left. He left for a few minutes, 10 seconds, to try to get some food in Mitzrayim, and he's back pretty quickly. Yaakov's always leaving and coming, and he leaves to the north, then he leaves to the southeast. That's a map of Am Yisrael's history. We first went to Galus Bavel in the north, and then we went more southeast. We went to the Mediterranean Sea on our way to Rome in Western Europe. So Yaakov is very much emblematic of Jewish history, and he really doesn't want to leave. So when you want to express your love for Eretz Yisrael, what do? Well, the Gemara in Ksuva says, you kiss stones. Rabbi Ava Menashe Kipi De'akor. Rabbi Ava, because you try to hold on to something physical, stones, ground. You say, I may not be back in Eretz Yisrael. There's a minug. I have this minug that people sleep on Tisha B'Av with a little stone in their bed. You go out and watch Silver Series, take a little stone. You're trying to feel connected to Israel, not just theoretically and abstractly, but to the stones of the Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed. Yaakov isn't arranging stones for protection. Yaakov is fondling the stones. Yaakov is coveting and longing. He knows tomorrow he won't have these stones. The stones tomorrow will be different stones and different water and different trees. So he's trying to connect to the natural landscape of Eretz Yisrael before he leaves to anchor himself to Eretz Yisrael. It's what's called teshuka. It's what's called in Chassidus desiring something you know you can't have. But in Chassidus, teshuka, haf shin vav kuf hei, desire is actually substantive. It's not just psychological. It's substantive. It makes a change. What change does it make? He's able to sense the Beis HaMikdash even though it hasn't been built yet. There's no Beis HaMikdash. It's not Shara Shamayim. It's not Beis Elokim yet in the actual sense. But because he's longing for Eretz Yisrael, achein, yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'enochi lo yadati. To the average bypasser, you wouldn't see the Beis HaMikdash because it's not built yet. But because Yaakov is so emotionally engrossed in trying to remain in Eretz Yisrael, he's able to uncover a future reality in this place that wouldn't have otherwise. Achein, yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'enochi lo yadati. Now, part of that is Kafta lo haderech. Remember Rashi says that his trip was made easier because the ground was moving. So according to the Sfasamis, Kafta lo means two other things. It means, first of all, the land came to him and presented the Beis HaMikdash that wouldn't otherwise be seen because of his desire. Kafta lo haderech, the geography presented itself. Also, he doesn't fully explicate this in this piece, but it's almost as if the land became shorter and larger. Kafta lo haderech means you can go from point A to point B sooner and quicker than you normally have to travel. Eretz Yisrael is a very flexible land. It expands and it shrinks based on Jewish history. That's why it's called Eretz HaTzvi, because the hide of a gazelle or of a deer is very supple and you can stretch it, but once you take it off of the animal, it becomes more rigid. There's no verb for that, because it's much more rigid and it contracts and it shrinks. So the land of Israel is always contracting and expanding based on whether the Jewish people are there. We find now that it's expanding because the Jewish people have returned to the land. It's not becoming more fertile, more rain. The Jewish people have returned to the land. So the Kafta lo haderech is also reflective of Yaakov wanting to be part of this land. And once the Jews are establishing their presence in the land's going to change its dimensions. Okay, so that's the primary Sfas Emes. The Yaakov Avinu desires that the stones are not stones. It's a tremendous chiddush because we're all brought up to think of the stones as protective stones. He's funneling the stones. Kafta lo haderech means the land is presenting something that you wouldn't otherwise see. The second issue of the Sfas Emes, again, very briefly, Vayira vayomar mana ra makom hazeh. Twice in the same pasuk, Yira Shemayim. Vayira vayomar mana ra makom hazeh. Ein zeh kim beis Elokim hazeh shara shamayim. So why is this response of Yaakov important? Because many people, after they would dream, they would be in a state of elation. They'd be in a state of epiphany. They'd be maybe in a state of arrogance. Hashem came to me in a dream. They'd be in a state of ambition, as Yosef was. I have ambitions for leadership. They'd be in a state of sadness or confusion, as the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim will be in Parshas Vayeshev. So there are many, many different responses to dreams. They'd be in a state of disillusion, like Paro, Vitipar, Mrucho. Yaakov's first response is, he's afraid, Yira Shemayim. Yaakov's first response is, Vayira Vayamar Manara HaMakom Hazeh. That's a portrait of Yaakov's heroism. And his first response is, why is Hashem coming to me to speak in a dream? It's not about me. I realize that there's a godless Hashem that I encountered at Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the godless of a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates Yira Shemayim in Yaakov. Now, the point is, a fascinating point beyond that point, which is fascinating enough, is Hashem caused Yaakov to feel this way. Let me see if I can just read you the one point. One second here. I'm sorry, I should have written this before. Sorry. Right. Yaakov thinks that it's the Makom, the Kedusha is because of the Makom. What's really the Kedusha here for Yaakov? Because the Beis HaMikdash is actually moving towards him. If you follow the journey, he's already north of Yerushalayim. He's in Beit El, and Har Moriah migrates north for Yaakov. So it's really not about the Makom. It's wrong. It's not the Beis HaKim Shar Shemayim. It's the Beis HaKim Shar Shemayim for you. It's about you, Yaakov, not about an objective place that goes to Yira Shemayim. But yet Yaakov's response doesn't match the facts. The facts are that Hashem wants to support Yaakov Avinu, protect Yaakov and encounter Yaakov. Yaakov feels, oh my goodness, I'm a nothing. So number one, it highlights how much Yira Shemayim Yaakov has. Number two, and this is something I'll just throw out there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps Yaakov have that Yira Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps him realize. Yaakov doesn't know. Why wouldn't Yaakov discover that all the topography has shifted for him? Hashem keeps that information from him so that Yaakov should not become, as we would say, arrogant, let it get to his head. Hashem helps people reach Yira Shemayim, which is a very, very provocative idea in Chassidus, that Hashem helps us reach the right decisions internally. Right? Normally we think what happens in the external world, Hashem gives us Siyat Deshmaya, but in the internal world, that's Bechira Chavshis, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. And I can make my own choices internally. So I can decide how to respond to a Chalom, because that's totally my choice. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu stacks the deck and protects the Tzaddik from reaching a conclusion that, which is really reflective of the fact that Hashem is celebrating Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov doesn't know that. He thinks it's about the Makom. He doesn't know it's about him. And Hashem, the language is Vu Miflos Habare. It's one of the wonders of Hashem. Hashem Shomer Ahava. Hashem protects his people who are committed to him. The Vilti Yavob Bimasem Lidei Gavos. They shouldn't come to arrogance. Lachem Misavev Sivos. Hashem creates circumstances. They should be able to act in proper ways. Not just act, but actually feel emotions and decisions, which is really interesting. What does it mean? Doesn't that limit Bechira Chavshitz? So anyway, so two big chidushim in the Sfas Emes about this moment of these stones. Number one, he was funneling the stones. He was missing Eretz Yisrael. Because of that, the land displays something that hadn't happened yet. Teshuka, desire, can serve in the place of actual accomplishment. There is no Beis HaMikdash, but the desire for the Beis HaMikdash, as if there were a Beis HaMikdash. That's a very gullus statement. That's a very gullus assistant statement. You don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but if you desire it enough, it's like you have the Beis HaMikdash. The second point is he wakes up and he's afraid, even though he should have woken him and said, wow, the entire world shifted. There were earthquakes and shifts and tsunamis, all for me. Now he attributes it to the Makom. Hashem discloses, we know Kavtzalo Derech, he doesn't know, because Hashem wants him to feel that Yer HaShemayim, which is parallel, as I said earlier, to Avram's Yer HaShemayim at Har Moriah. Okay? Tomorrow, Rashi. Have a great day, everyone. Have a good day.